Since technology seems to influence every other aspect of life, it makes sense that technology would even turn up in the bins of flea markets. In fact, it's had a serious impact on the flea market business. NPR's Ari Shapiro explains why.
The Georgetown flea market in Washington feels like a snapshot of America. People turn over old dishes, shake out linens, and scrutinize the seams on vintage clothes. Vendors are eager to make a sale, sure, but many would just as soon chat.
I've got a memorabilia doll of Mike Jordan, a long time ago when he was with the Chicago Bulls. I've got
mainly Native American and cowboy and Indian stuff and superfluous stuff, you know, like erotica art.
What I have here today is all small furniture, mostly from the 1940s.
Talk to vendors like Raquel Brennan, Poet Horton, and Diane Dubois Mullally long enough, and many come around to the same complaint, one with a distinctly 21st century edge.
My name is Phyllis Weed, and I've been working in Georgetown for the last 10 years. With the onset of eBay, it's harder to find things because they're selling them themselves.
Wheat and other vendors agree. The flea market business isn't what it used to be. The customers are there. It's the merchandise that's harder to come by. People have realized they can make more money selling family heirlooms themselves on eBay than they can calling someone like Wheat to pick it up. And there's another reason people are hanging on to their antiques. They think the merchandise may be worth a lot of money.
Do you have any idea what a dance like this might be worth?
I'm hoping that it's worth maybe $1,000 or $2,000.
And the gun in this shape, you know, it would do around $40,000.
The Antiques Roadshow is one of the most popular TV shows to have capitalized on the shabby chic trend. Browse through any newsstand and you can find about a dozen magazines that have done the same. Vendor Sheila Gazowitz says she's glad the Antiques Roadshow has sparked people's interest in antiques, but the program has also been a big headache for her.
Because people think, oh, I got grandma's, whatever. I can get a fortune for this. So either they put it out at a yard sale at a ridiculously high price, or they decide to keep it.
Jim Tucker is head of the Antiques and Collectibles Association in Davidson, North Carolina. He says that across the country, he hears the same thing from the pickers, the middlemen who procure items for flea markets and antique shows.
Now when they knock on doors, you know, it's, well, my kids tell me, you know, not to sell the stuff in the attic, that they'll take care of it because the kids have seen the shows and know that there may be some value there.
He says no one publishes numbers on the flea market business, so it's hard to know exactly how much of an impact eBay and the Antiques Roadshow have had. But he says both have changed the business dramatically. Fortunately, the antiques business can take a beating better than some other industries. Because many of the salespeople are retirees and part-timers, they don't all have to rely entirely on flea market sales to support themselves. At the Georgetown flea market, most vendors seem to agree on what keeps them coming to the same lot week after week, even though they could sit at a computer and run the same sort of business.
I'm a hands-on person, I'm a people person, and I cannot sit and talk to a computer. I want to interact with the person that's buying my merchandise. I really do.
Though Phyllis Wheat insists that she'd never resort to selling on eBay, other vendors admit that the virtual flea markets do have one distinct advantage. In the middle of a summer downpour, eBay is a much nicer place to be than any outdoor market. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.